So what we'll do, before we go any further, we'll just read those first five verses of the letter to Philippians. And this is written about 10 years after the visit we read about in the book of Acts. So Paul writes, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayers with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." So we're working our way through that letter in the first 3 months. Well, why has that letter been chosen? It's been chosen because it's probably the book in the Bible that gives us the best picture of what being partners together in the good news about Jesus is all about. And it will help us move forward together as God's people in this place. In verse 5, Paul says the Philippians have been partners in the gospel since the first day. So he can look back 10 years to that first visit that he made and be joyous about that. About that event, very difficult event, it has to be said, because he ended up in jail. But he can look back with joy for that day and the 10 years in between. So the letter is all about partnership. And the partnership in the first part of the letter. Elsewhere is translated fellowship or sharing, and it's the central theme. Dr. Hans Beyer, who's done a study of this book, says the entire purpose of Philippians is partnership in the gospel, exemplified by Timothy and Epaphras, outlined in exhortations and concluded in warnings. Partnership is at the centre, and we'll be learning more about that in a few weeks. Today I want to concentrate on three things, and in the middle of your sermon sheet, I've got a summary of what we're going to say. Check it, see if I deviate at all. You may want to make notes if you've got space on there, extra notes. But I'm going to look at three things. I'm going to look at the city of Philippi, asking the question, where? The spread of the gospel to Philippi. The main question there is going to be when? And the impact of the gospel in Philippi, asking the main question, who? And I'm going to draw out some pointers about what partnership means for us, and hopefully identify some points that can be picked up in later weeks without stealing anybody's thunder. So, let's look at Philippi first. Well, Philippi was originally founded by a race of people known as Thracians in about 360 BC. It's about 400 years before Paul wrote his letter to the church there. Okay, so now if you know me at all, you know I like a good map. Unfortunately, this isn't a very good map, and I apologise for that. You can see that it says it's Thrace up there. That's where Philippi is, and you can see it just there. I'll put it there, Philippi. Okay. Now, the Thracians gave that city, they didn't call it Philippi, they called it Penides, which apparently means fountains. I don't know why, but maybe there were fountains near there. So you see in that pale colour there, Thrace. But what happened only after a few years of after its foundation, a king called King Philip II, who came from Macedon, here, just south, decided he liked it a lot. It was on an important east-west route from the area over here through into the rest of Europe. That was one reason he liked it. He also liked it because it was near some gold mines as well. So, what he decided to move into, under his kingdom of Macedon, he decided to move into Thrace and capture Philippi. And he set up a garrison there to guard that important route and the gold mine. And, as it usually goes with many rulers, modesty was not his strong point, so he named it after himself. So it became Philippi. Okay. So if we move on to the next picture, please, Paul, somewhere. Should be a picture of some ruins. Okay, that's what Philippi looks like now. Not very impressive. It's now in northern Greece. And although Philippi itself is in ruins, there are actually two towns nearby. One is called Crinides and the other Philippi. By the time of Jesus and the Apostle Paul, the whole of that area that we looked at earlier, the whole of Greece, was part of the Roman Empire. And Philippi was an important Roman city, as we read in the passage. In about 30 BC, so that's about 30 years before Jesus was born, about 90 years before Paul's letter, the Roman Emperor Octavian, we actually know him as Caesar Augustus, that's Romans have three names, which is confusing. He's also known as Caesar Augustus, he's referred to it in the Gospel of Luke as the person who ordered the census at Jesus' time. He settled lots of Roman citizens in Philippi, including many retired soldiers, some of whom were probably from a group called the Praetorian Guard. They were his own personal force. So a bit like the Royal Police Force, if you like, the Royal Protection Force. And Paul makes reference to those people in his letter. If you look at, when you get home, look at verse 13 of chapter 1, so the letter to Philippians, he talks about the Imperial Guard who were guarding him at that time because he was under house arrest. Now, Philippi's status was a colony, and it was important. Colony was very important. Most places in the Roman Empire were provinces, and that meant they came under the direct rule of the emperor because they were seen as potential trouble spots. But a colony was different. It was set up and run like a mini version of Rome itself and wasn't under direct control of the emperor, but under the control of senators. And colonies were regarded as reliable and trustworthy places, and their citizens would have been exempt from land taxes. Much of the language used in the letter by Paul reflects Philippi's Roman status. We've seen a reference to the Imperial Guard in the first chapter, and right at the end of the letter, he refers to Caesar's household. Now, because of the status conferred on it by Rome, Philippi would be a privileged, prosperous, and proud city, proud of its Roman citizenship and of its loyalty to Rome. If you read through Paul's letter, it doesn't take very long to do, you'll see it's, unusually for Paul, lacking in references to the Old Testament. And the names in there are largely Roman names. And that reflects the essentially Roman and specifically non-Jewish character of the city. And it actually, from that we see the church also reflects that non-Jewish character. Because of all that, Paul has to remind the church that their primary identity and loyalty is not to Rome, but to Christ and his gospel. And he uses the language of citizenship to drive it home. In the first chapter, he says, behave as citizens worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's verse 27. And again, in chapter 3, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. We see there, if we are partners in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus, we cannot afford to have loyalty to any other power above our loyalty to Christ and his good news. Okay, so that's about Philippi. So let's look at when. How does Philippi fit into the story of the spread of the gospel? Okay, this map's slightly better. So if you look here, we see a picture of Paul's first missionary journey. So I'm going to quickly take us through the story of Acts so far. So, Acts is basically the spread of the good news about Jesus in the first few decades after his death and resurrection. At his ascension, Jesus says to his followers, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The first 9 chapters show the results of the preaching of the good news in Jerusalem, and then, as a result of persecution, the spread of the message throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the Mediterranean coast, which would have been, this is the Mediterranean coast here. That's Jerusalem. This would have been Judea. Samaria is up here, and this is the coast. So, this is the first 9 chapters. The good news was spread in that area. A very Jewish area. The gospel, this really was just talked about to the Jews. Then in chapter 10 and 11, we see that Peter crosses a great cultural barrier. God shows him and the church leadership in Jerusalem that the gospel is for Gentiles as well as Jews. And to confirm that, Paul and Barnabas are sent out to spread the good news further afield. And that's reported in chapters 13 and 14, and that's where we see Paul's first missionary journey, which takes him here, okay, around this region here, and back again. Starts off in a place called Antioch, which is where people were first called Christians, and goes in that little area around there. But it's confined to this eastern Mediterranean area. If we look at Acts, we see that the Gentiles responded eagerly to the good news there. But God wants to move things on further. Chapter 15, there's a meeting of the church leaders in Jerusalem, and they make another big decision, which is that Gentiles don't have to be proper Jews if they believe in Jesus. They don't have to keep all the dietary laws and the rule Jews saw themselves as keeping to be the people of God. They had to keep all those little rules. Okay, so that's another step. And so then we reach chapter 16 that we've read about. Which is the second mystery journey. So if I can have there we are. Okay. At the end of chapter 15, we read, Paul began by going through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So basically, went up here, okay, to Antioch, And then he started with his companions, going to all the places that he'd visited before. Now, we're not told what he does in Paul's mind, but I think it may be reasonable to think that he was just doing a rerun of what he was doing before, just visiting all the churches that are already planted to encourage them. But if you look at chapter 16, we read, they went to the region of Asia, bidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Macedonia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So what they were trying to do was go here and maybe come here. But God, not told, he said, no, I want you to go north, west. So they obeyed him. And eventually they reached this town Troas here on the coast. And Paul has a vision of somebody, a man from Macedonia, who come and visit Macedonia. Jesus' mission to his disciples was to start off here, but to go to the ends of the earth. Paul initially was sticking to the area. God never said, I want you to go to the ends of the earth. And the first step is to go up here. Initiative there in spreading his word around the world. Now, the step wasn't a great difference in the same culture, Hellenistic. Of Rome and Jerusalem. And God wanted to establish the colony of heaven. So, the Jewish part of the Greek over here, you would see Italy. We see Paul when he writes the letter. He's there. Eventually, there's a written about the first. Spread the end of the Roman Empire here. Asia to the Americas. in the intervening time. Thank you.